Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
How many of you understand that you can have friends and then you can have friends? And how many of you know that not all relationships are the same? Am I right? And as a matter of fact, someone once said, you know, a football coach runs away, went to his wife and said, you know, my dog is my only friend. And I went to my therapist and he said, I need two friends. So she went and bought him another dog. A true friend is the one that takes that photo of you where you look like a beach whale and they tear it apart and burn it. That's a true friend. Let me tell you, then we'll get to the Bible. There's friends that there's two kinds of people that tell you the truth in life. Number one, an enemy who's angry at you. And number two, a friend that really loves you. You see, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Am I right? And the Bible has a lot to say about friendship. It says, who walks with the wise is wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. I'll give you a couple of scriptures. I think they're up there on the screen this morning, and I better put my glasses on. The other day I had to go to get my eyes checked, and it wasn't a very nice experience because when I got in there, you know, they check you out. They say, oh, it's only 20 minutes, you know, and I figured out because I'm a little bit of a, you know, I'm very careful with money and so forth. And I thought, you know, if I go now, I can claim it on my Medibank. So I go in and she sits me down and she says to me, we have a problem. We need to run a few more tests. Oh, well, this is really good. This is just what I need just before the end of the year. Woo. And she begins to run some tests. She says, look, your right-hand eye or your retina or whatever it is back here is deteriorating. And she says to me this, she says, have you suffered severe blows to the head? I said, well, my wife gives me one every week when I don't do the dishwasher, but apart from that, and it actually really moved me because the only severe blows to the head I ever had constantly were from my father. And I thought to myself, I wonder if now, if I went to my dad, if he was alive, then I'd say, Dad, because of your actions, do you realize I now have a blind spot on my right-hand side? Do you know what I thought of that? I thought, well, if I even said that to him, he would never even agree to it, engage to it. And how many of you know there are some kind of people in your life that when you try and correct, now, you can't correct everybody. Give me a wave, you get it. How many of you have wanted people to help you out in a time of need where they needed to correct someone on your behalf and they didn't do it? Give me a wave if you have people like that in your life that, you know, when it came to defending you, they didn't do it. I may have shared this story or not, but I'll share it again. And I was in Christchurch, New Zealand. New Zealand. Matter of fact, let me tell you the other day. I got so many stories I've got to hustle out because they've told me I've got to finish at 10:15 because you all need coffee and tea. Because that's why we come to church. So I'm going to hustle. But the other day I was waiting for my daughter. It was her 37th birthday. I was down at Broadbeach and I had a bit of time to spare, so I thought I'd just walk through the Oasis Shopping Centre, and there's a barber shop there. And there's a good-looking young Maori guy, really ripped, really good-looking. His name's Stuart, if you want to go stalk him. And I walk in there, and I said, can you make this head look good, bro? He goes, bro, I can make any head look good, bro. So I sat down. And I said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a speaker. He said, what do you speak about? I said, well, I speak and I've been a preacher for many years. That's why I used to go to New Zealand. Well, this guy just stops. And I said, he said, are you a Christian? I said, well, I'm a white one with black spots. Give me a wave if you know what I mean. No? And he said, I was a Christian. He said, have you heard of Brian Tamaki? I said, yes, I know Brian. I know Brian very well. The Maori Polynesian people love him and the Pakeha can't handle him because they don't get the culture. Anyway, so he said, you know, I used to go to church continuously and incidents in my life and I've walked away from the Lord. I said, well, you know what? I didn't even intend to get a haircut today, but I'm here today. And then 2 days later, so I called up Pastor Dan. I said, where are you, Pastor Dan? I'm telling you, he says, I'm in Broadbeach. I said, I need you to go to this Oasis Shopping Centre and tell this young man that God loves him and who you are. Because how many of you know God sets it up sometimes? And I really want to share with you on, and now that young man, I can't call him a friend, but he's an acquaintance. Am I right? Not everybody's on the same level. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible, in as far as relationships in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says this. Ecclesiastes 4, I've got to find all my pieces of paper that I've got here. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for no one will help him up. There's a book called Vital Associations. And in this book, Vital Associations, they did a study of homelessness in the United States of America. Now, you need to listen, guys. In this study of homelessness in the United States of America, they discovered that most people that were homeless, many of them were successful people. Many of them were entrepreneurs. Many of them were doctors and lawyers. Many of them were people that had families, but they did not have one close friend. Did you hear what I said then? When a time of calamity came, not one close friend that they would go to. If you get a chance, have a read of that book. The Bible says also in Proverbs 17:17 that Proverbs 22:7 it says, sorry, I've got to slow down. Proverbs 27:17, have a look at that. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Let me ask you, are you a sharpener or are you a blunter? Are you sharpening people? Are we the kind of people that when people get around us, they go, woo, I'm a switchblade? You know, they asked Abraham Lincoln how they should, he said, before anything you do in life, if you're going to chop down a tree, make sure you sharpen your axe. And I believe in any endeavor, we've got to sharpen our axe, especially, you know, if we want to have good friends. Have you got the kind of people that are making you sharp or are they making you blunt? A friend of mine called Gary Zaleski, great preacher. He had to preach for me several years ago. And I called him up. It was like 2 months before the event. I called him up and he says, hey, bro, thanks for calling. I suppose you heard about my heart attack. I said, I had no idea you had a heart attack. I'm calling you to tell you that you're going to be here for my event in Hawaii. He goes, Pat, but the doctor says I have to take a rest. I said, great, you got 2 months. Get over it. Get to Hawaii. And you know what he said to me? He said he didn't need people around him going, oh, you poor darling. Oh, just, oh, mustn't be God's will. Oh, just tolerate it. It's your lot in life. They are not friends. You know, my greatest friends in life, I got a good friend called Jeremy Thomas. And Jeremy one day sat me down and he said this. He said, you know what, Pat? He said, I discovered something about you. I said, what's that? He said, you love those that correct you. That went down well. You know what God says? Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and rebukes. Otherwise, you're called, give me the word in illegitimate. It starts with B and ends in D, but don't say it because then I get in trouble. It's in the King James. Hello? And a lot of times we don't realize that friends, if we want to live a different life in 2020, now, not just friends, but those around you, your associations. Now, you know, the Bible, there are four people that God called friends. Number one, he called Abraham friend. Number two, he called Moses friend. Number three, Jesus said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. The fourth people that God called friends were publicans and sinners. Four people, God called Moses, God called Abraham, God called us, and God calls lots of people friends. Now, God shows us how to build, how many of you want to build great friendships? And I'm not sure, when I say friendships, listen to me, I'm not talking about, you know, when you're a little kid, you're growing up, you go to the school playground, you go, will you be my friend? And they go, yeah, okay, and you take off. This is called social media now. Not everybody on Facebook is your friend. They're called imaginary friends. And many of them try and live their life vicariously through you. Come on, are you with me? I have a button on my social media called block and delete idiots. And it is amazing how when you block people, they go, why did you block me? Because you're an idiot. Now, I know that sounds very harsh. Now, I'm moving right along. God shows us how to build friendship. He shows us through the life of Moses, or Abraham, actually. In Genesis 12:1, he introduces himself. He says, I am who I am. Wow. Then he becomes an acquaintance of him in Genesis 18. He goes, I've known him. God speaks about Abraham. He says, I've known him. So we've got an introduction. Everybody say introduction. Just because you meet someone doesn't mean they need to be in relationship with you. Now when I'm saying relationship, I don't mean relationship as in love relationship. And when I speak about friends, I'm not just talking about bosom buddies. I'm talking about building solid relationships, whether it's with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, with your grandkids. Give me way if you understand that, church. And I'm going to give you some keys to do this. So if I say friends, or maybe I'll use the word relationships. Because when you hear about relationships, we generally have, talk about husband and wives. But relationships encompass more than that. Are you with me? Yes or yes? Relationship with your kids. Relationship with your grandkids. Relationships with people in church. So there's the introduction stage. How many of you have discovered some people, the best thing about them is when they leave? How many of you discovered there are people that are very good at hello, but not very good at consistency? Can I get an amen to that? Then there's the acquaintance stage where you get acquainted. President Trudeau said of France, he said, France does not have many friends, but it has many acquaintances. You can't build life on acquaintances. Can I get a yes or yes on that? The third stage is where God says to Moses, he says of Abraham, he goes, he says to him, you are my friend. There's friendship, there's introduction, acquaintance, and then friendship. And then there's the area of intimacy. Everybody say intimacy. So we have an introduction. What have we got? We got a. Then we've got an acquaintance. What have we got? We got a acquaintance. Then we have friendships. Come on, are you with me? And then the fourth level is intimacy, where God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, how can I do this and not tell my friend Abraham? God shows us how to build. We start by introduction. We get into acquaintance stage. We then build friendship. We then build intimacy. God over and over again called Abraham friend. Matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 7, Jehoshaphat says, Abraham, your friend forever. Now, here's what I want you to know about God. God says, I'm your friend forever. Nothing you do can make God love you less. And nothing you do will make God love you more. Now, believers are different. They have limitations on their love. Not here. These are other people. They unconditionally love you with conditions. Some of us, you got partners like that. Relationships like that. We've got a relationship with ourselves like that. Hello? Greatest relationship you'll ever have outside of your relationship with Christ is the one with yourself. Can I get an amen? Jesus said these words, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If we have conditional love on here, what do you think is going to happen over there? And we've got to build solid relationships, guys, because especially with ourselves. You see, Jesus one day, when it came to people and relationships, he said, don't put pearl before swine. How many of you have done stuff, given stuff, shown stuff, money, gifts, friendship, time, a meal? And what did they bring back to you? Tell me. Zero. Well, you give, you should give, and not expect anything. Who told you that? Where did you learn that from? God said, given you shall receive. Any relationship that doesn't return you a harvest is a relationship you don't need to be in. Oh, good Lord. Any relationship that doesn't bring you back a harvest. Do you know what Jesus said? One day he said, I want you to go in every town and preach the gospel. Those that receive it, awesome. The others, wipe the dust off your feet and move on. Do you know the hardest part for human beings is the moving on part? How many of you, come on, don't be so spiritual. Come on, Logan Church. You've been really ticked off sometimes. Let me take some Christian tips. You've been grieved in the spirit. And instead of moving on, you stewed. You didn't put a boundary there. Several years ago, I was in New Zealand. You thought I forgot the story. I was in Christchurch. And a friend of mine who I was doing some work with, won't mention her name, we'll just call her Kerry, says to me, Pat, we were at a business meeting the other day and there was a conversation about you and people were talking about you, whether you were gay. I don't know that I give out that vibe. And I can assure you, they'll accuse me, if they say Pat ran away with the money, pray for me, I'm a thief. If they say Pat, whatever, stole the car, pray for me, I'm a thief. But if they ever say to you, Pat's gay, they're a darn liar. And I said, why would they say that? She said, well, because you always dress so nice and you wear nice colognes. I did not know that was a prerequisite for gay. And then she said, and they kept talking about other stuff, and it wasn't very nice. And I said, how long is this going on for, Kerry? She says, 10, 15, 20 minutes, which generally means 15 or 20. I said, she goes, would you like me to tell you what they said? I said, no. I would like you to tell me why they felt comfortable saying that in front of you. Listen, friends that don't defend you, family or others, fill in the blanks. You can't be a silent friend. Jesus said to Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Was he right? Everyone goes, Peter denied Christ. Hang on a minute. There was one so close, John the Beloved. He was there too. He was right there. Number one, he never said, hey, I'm one of them. Number two, he never said, leave my mate Peter alone. Number three, watch this. Peter betrayed Jesus vocally. John did it with silence. And Judas did it with a kiss. You got two guys that are so close to you, he's got his head on your chest. And one of them so close to you, he'll kiss you. You got to watch your friends. Give me a clap or something. It's like you guys and girls in relationship, you're starting to date. Hey, if they don't want to know you and they're not going to shout you from the rooftop, move on. I'm not wired that way. Change. Relationships are two way. It's not what you need or he need. You bring what they need and they bring what you need. Come on, get a clap on that one, guys. Relationship. God shows us how to build a pathway to friendship. Number one, God is faithful when we're not. Number two, God is never disillusioned with you. Number three, God, watch this, God does not need you to impress him. Next thing about God has allowed me to lean on his credibility. Is this too deep for a Sunday morning or are you with me? Give me one. Because, lean on me. My credibility. I am. My word. We lean on that. The next thing is, watch this. You can ask God for favors. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nation. Remember, the next thing about God, he empowers me. See, God, and this is a sermon all on its own, these 8 points. I'm just giving you some bullet points till I get to the main point of my message. God shows us how to build friendships. And then he gives us some principles on how to build friendships. How many of you want to build, relationships, solid, good relationships? Who's discovered that relationships in any area of life can be exhilarating or exhausting? Every married person, raise your hand. Come on, you love them, but sometimes you just want to send them to be with Jesus. Not the girls, these are the men we're talking about. Come on, am I right? Give me a wave. Let me share these things with you. Come on, how many of you want to build solid relationships in 2020 and not go through the same old, same old? When God wants to bless you, he puts someone in your life. When Satan wants to curse you, he puts someone in your life. Stop. Who would like to stop the heartache? Oh, gosh. Three people. So you all love to be in heartache? I've had enough in my life for everybody. How many of you sometimes get frustrated at some people? I read this post this week, and it was from a thing called Stop the Bullying. And it said this: stop calling those that don't call you. Stop giving to those that don't give back to you. Stop chasing those that don't chase you. And start chasing those, calling those, giving to those that give to you. Well, I thought I'd get a clap on that one. Relationships, how do we build them? Firstly, here's a great thing: follow what God does. God loves everybody the same. No, he doesn't. Well, that sucked the air right out of church. God doesn't love everybody the same. Who told you that? God calls you the apple of his eye. If God treated everybody the same, what would be the point of being his child? Come on, how many of you have got kids here? Give me a wave. Grandkids, give me a wave. Do you treat everybody the same? You treat your kids better than everybody else's. God is love. I get that. But how many of you love? There are also levels of love. Like there's levels of association. Jesus had the multitude. He had the crowd. Then he had the 500. Then he had the 12. And then he had the 3. Over and over again, we see this. So how do we build solid relationships? Number one, outside of God, find someone that can teach you about them. This is a good talk. Apparently, it's on podcast. I asked this morning if our messages are recording, and they said they're on podcast. I'm now going to podcast myself. Next thing is, realize that those that are closest to you will determine the quality of your life. Did you hear what I just said then, church? Your quality of your life will be determined by those that are the closest to you. See, you don't struggle with stress and problems because a stranger says something to you. Am I right? This week, I had my daughter's 37th birthday. And, you know, we had a birthday party, and on Friday morning, I could see she was a little bit agitated. The night before, I had to do a webinar, so I had to get the grandkids out of the house. Friday morning, I got a business meeting. I got people driving from all over Brisbane, so I needed the house. And I could see my daughter was a little bit agitated. I immediately, when everyone left, I said, "Beck, do we have a problem? Listen, you cannot change what you refuse to correct." In heaven. Is this helping anybody? My little grandson the other day, he's in my house. I love my grandson. He's cute. Looks a bit like me. I said, "We don't eat ice cream on that lounge." He jumps on lounge. I said, "Maxwell, I love you. Stop jumping on my lounge. It's not a trampoline. I have boundaries in my home. I'm allowed to break my own. I can eat on the lounge." How do you know why I can eat on the lounge? Because Christine lets me. That's why. Listen, the prophecy of your life is linked to those that are the closest to you. If we're hanging around negative, nitpicking, thumb-sucking people, come on. If we're in church, we're hanging around and giving, and we're leaning into negative conversation. The music's still out. The music's still out. Get some earplugs. Music's still out. God's not nervous. Well, I'll leave and go to another church. Well, you're a great, we can really build on you. Man, you're a solid foundation on whom the house of God can be built on. Of course, this doesn't happen here. It just kind of... Give me a wave if you still love me this morning. Some of you are not moving anything, are you? Come on. Those are the closest to you. God said... I don't have a time to get into it all because I've got 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Psalm 119, verse 63 says, I am companion of those that love you. Love your house. If you want to build, great relationships, don't make the pleasurable people of today pay for the painful people of yesterday. Oh, I was hurt. I was abused. I got this. You know what? Great. That was. Now live here. You know, my husband left me and I don't trust men. Yeah, I want to be married to you. My wife did that and she, right, exactly. We want to be married to you. Are you still with me? Why do we make the pleasurable? See, we go through this Groundhog Day. And do you know what has happened? We are the most over-therapized culture in the history of humanity. And we're the most screwed up. We got Dr. Phil, we got Oprah, we got it. You can sit there and watch yourself vicariously through. Oh, yes, you know what? They're triangulating. Now you're an expert. Oh, you're an enabler. I learned that on Dr. Phil. Let me tell you, life will teach you that. Want to know if you're an enabler? Look at bad behavior, and if you don't address it, you're an enabler. Anybody out there still love me? Give me a wave, please. Come on, you're an enabler. It's like, you know, these people that are caught, you know, with weapons in their homes, and the parents go, I didn't know. I've got to get down from the stage now for this one. My mother knew everything that was in my room. She'd check it under the sheet, under the pillow. My mother would tear down the concrete wall to figure out what's in my room. And you don't know what's in your kid's room? Oh, Jesus. Mothers, I give you permission to know. Search and destroy. As if you're going to keep a mother from checking on her son's or daughter's bedroom. You'll check in the diary and you go, oh my God, Lord Jesus. And then you start praying with your kids. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for my little Johnny. Lord, keep him away from drugs and from Billy, who I know is a drug dealer. You see, those are the closest to you. Listen, the next thing is this. Never care more for a person's problem than they care about it themselves. We care for people more than they care about their problem. When I worked with Teen Challenge, I would get these boys in. They could come in. But they didn't charge them anything. We'd rehabilitate them. Their parents are crying, upset, and they're sitting there with their cap on, sunnies on. Can I borrow your hat, brother? Can you kill anything that's in Jesus' name, all right? They'd be sitting there. Someone give me some sunglasses, please. Come on, I know we got them here. Same guy. Give me. And they'd be sitting there on my lounge like. Man, you sweat a lot, bro. The parents cared for their problem, but they didn't. Have you ever cared more for someone's financial problem than they care about it themselves? Get a job! Well, that went down well. Bible says you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Work is biblical. I have a talk called 7 Biblical Reasons You Should Work. Number one, God commanded it. Till the ground. Gosh, I've sucked the air out of the room here. People read the book right. Lord, I want you to be my provider. Get a job. Work, build a career. Does anybody still love me this morning? Come on, we'll be happy. I'm over 11 seconds. See, I knew it. As soon as I get to the job bit, they cut my clock. One lady one day said to me, "You don't care for the poor." I said, "I will support those that cannot work, but I will never support those that will not work." Never care more for a person's problem. They care about it themselves. Look, I... 1 minute more. I care for you so much, I'd rather you hate me for telling you the truth than you loving me for telling you lies. I remember one day we had this youth leader in my youth group. I won't tell you his name. We'll call him Mario. But his real name was Maurice. And Maurice thought he could sing. Maurice couldn't sing. So one day they bring him up in the church band to sing. Maurice was a brilliant disciple. I have never seen anyone disciple young people like this guy. He was brilliant. I'd give him a new convert. He'd be a disciple, baptized in the Holy Ghost, tithing, give him within a matter of a month. But he couldn't sing. But he wanted to sing. But he couldn't sing. But he wanted to sing. But he couldn't sing. Look at me. I can't sing. Well, I can, but not good. I remember the day I had to look at him and say, "Morris, I'd rather you hate, because I listen to all the laughs back here. I love you, my brother. You're the best disciple I've ever seen in my life. But you can't sing." I watched his face. But now, he's drawing crowds of thousands all over this country, doing stage plays. He doesn't act. He trains people. And he does that show, I don't know, the one where they crucified Jesus and all that, all over the country. Sometimes you've got to tell people the truth. Now, the reason why you're a psychopathic murderer is not because your parents didn't take you to the zoo. It's because you're a psychopathic murderer. It is not that you're hurt. You're a spoiled brat. It is you're ungrateful. Listen to me. You have a sense of entitlement. Last one, so I'll leave you happy. Come on, are you still with me? Every relationship in our lives, every relationship in our lives must produce some harvest. God has entrusted every single one of us in this room with a message of the gospel. And he enables us and empowers us because we're his friends. When God looks at every one of you this morning, he doesn't say, "Oh, there's my slave. Oh, there's my co-laborer." He looks at you and goes, "There's my friend. Let me just call in with my friend and see how they're going." You don't think God ever calls in on you? How have you discovered that God calls in on you in the most inappropriate times? You're in the car, you feel God's presence, you start crying. Come on, are you with me? I'm in the gym a few months ago, I'm in the gym and I got my earphones on and I'm listening to this old song and I'm working out, you know, I'm working out and tears, you know, coming down here. Christine wasn't with me at the gym that morning. I'm crying my eyes out. I'm having this worship service. I'm trying to do weights. This big guy, one of the bikers that goes there, goes, "Are you okay, bro? Are you hurting? You need me to help you to lift the load?" I said, "Man, no, the God, the one that's helping me lift the load is plugged into here. I'm listening to a worship song." He goes, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "I used to be one. See ya." Amazing how God calls in on you sometimes. This morning, God is calling in on you. The Bible says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible also says that a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for adversity. I could preach on that about relatives. They're born for your adversity. If they're not helping you when you're in an adversity, find a new herd. God says, "I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother." God is not your enemy. God is your friend. Why would you not want to be friends with God? Why would you not? Oh, I'd like to be the friend of the Prime Minister. Poor guy right now. Qualifications for a Prime Minister. Make it rain. God wants to be your friend. I want every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Maybe you once walked with God and you've walked away from Him. God's still your friend. God will never ever shut that door on you. Maybe you thought God was your enemy. Maybe you don't even believe in God, but He certainly believes in you. Maybe you feel far away from God, but let me tell you, God has never been more close to you than at this moment. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you once gave your life to Christ and you moved away from Him, you feel separated from God, God right now is knocking at the door like a friend. Don't go hiding under the lounge. Don't switch the lights off and put over a duvet. Open the door.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.